Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me via phone is my very good guest, Father Stephen DeLacy. Welcome, Father. How are you today?
Great, Dave. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Okay. It's quite an honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. And, well, Father, I know you from previous days. I mean, I've seen you recently for a while, or quite a while. You were you were in charge of the Archdiocese Office of Vocations. So what are you doing now? What is your new role, and how long have you been in it?
Oh, great. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, so I guess I started in this role in June of 2021. I am the Vicar of Faith Formation with Youth and Young Adults. So I oversee anything that has a formational component for our young church, really young adults and below. So we have the Catechetical Formation Office, which is our CCD and prep programs. We have the CYO, our Office of Ministry with Youth, and our Office of Ministry with Young Adults. And then I have a consultative connection with all of our grade schools and high schools. So it's really all like the funnest parts of the church all put together in one role, and I get the chance to interact with a lot of great people in this regard.
Mm-hmm. And so you got the nod from the Archbishop, or through the hierarchy, that you're the man to do that.
Well, I was very blessed and very honored. The Archbishop did give me a tremendous gift, and I was kind of teasing when he gave me this job. It's like he picked everything that I love the most about the church, and he kind of rolled it up into one job. So, mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful. One kind of fun thing, being a vicar, that means anytime I'm in a ministry mode, the Archbishop is made vicariously present through me, which is really, really powerful, and I'm very humbled by that, so that I'm able to offer the Archbishop's greetings and his blessings and that type of thing. As the Archbishop explains this, he always reminds people that even though he's present vicariously through me, that he's better looking than I am, which cracks me up that he reminds people of that. But
yeah, always that humility factor in there, right?
Yes.
He certainly picked the right man in my book, my estimation. But Father, to a more somber issue, where I called you in prep for this interview, but you were kind of stuck in traffic from a funeral. Do you want to kind of explain whose funeral it was? And we want to offer a prayer for the repose of the soul of this gentleman, and pray for the family.
So it's the fallen officer Christopher Fitzgerald's funeral mass that's being celebrated even as we record this. So I was coming from a mass at St. Hubert's High School and was on 95 as the procession of police officers were going by, and there must have been over 100 police cars that went by, and it was really inspiring to see not only Temple Police and Philadelphia Police, but municipalities from Bucks County, because that would be the natural offshoot for those folks from Bucks County. So what a beautiful tribute to Officer Christopher, and God bless his wife Marissa and their four children. He has two young girls, two young boys, all between the ages of 7 and 13. Oh. So certainly this fallen hero is in need of our continued prayers, and especially prayers for his family. So I know, Dave, you'd like to start off with the St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. So why don't we offer that with the intentionality of offering this for the happy repose of the soul of Officer Christopher Fitzgerald and his wonderful family. Mm-hmm. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act it in me, Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Father DeLacy, for doing that. This is a very special and somber day, as I had mentioned. And I want to thank you for coming on. You're such a busy person. A little bit of background. I am involved in a seminar at the seminary. The seminar is under the Institute for Christian Formation every other Thursday. So a week ago last night, there are two sessions per night, and you were the opening act, so to speak. And it was so good to see you then. That's why I invited Father to come on. But what the topic was, what you were basically teaching us, was the sacrament of reconciliation. I have my notes from that. I asked Father to do, if you wouldn't mind, is come on and kind of go through the sacrament of reconciliation and what he was teaching us and reminding us of what the Catechism says and what the Church says. And especially since we started Lent 2 days ago. Ash Wednesday was 2 days ago. Today is Friday. So, Father, that's kind of where I would like to start. So if you want to take it away and kind of sum up or go over what you taught us and what you want to share with our listeners as a reminder. Many of us know this, or many of us may not, or we're not full, and maybe not in full knowledge, and you give such a great teaching. So,
well, praise God. Well, thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity and honored to do this. Also, if you don't mind, I'm going to give a quick plug in the beginning and then also maybe remind people at the end that, you know, with this great sacrament, you know, there's so many people that aren't utilizing the sacrament, and that can be problematic for their salvation. It can be problematic for their pursuit of holiness. And the Archdiocese is having a powerful experience of the celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation on March 10th and 11th. Mm-hmm. Every deanery is going to be having two churches that will be designated to offer confessions for an extended period of time. Priests from all over will be gathering there. We're referring to this as a Reconciliation Weekend, mm-hmm. and there's locations all throughout the Archdiocese. This is linked to the Eucharistic revival, and the reason why we're having this special celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation is to reestablish the connectivity between the reception of the Eucharist and the celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You know, once upon a time, lines to the confession were really long and lines to communion were really short, and that's kind of been reversed. And during this time of Eucharistic revival, where we're trying to reinvigorate the faith of people in the Eucharist, we're taking a look at what are those practices that kind of build up our Eucharistic faith, and there is a correspondence with those that make use of the Sacrament of Reconciliation and those who have faith in the Eucharist, especially, just to plant this seed, the importance of sanctifying grace for receiving the Eucharist, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're baptized, we receive sanctifying grace, which is the grace that gets us to heaven. It's also the grace that gives us the ability to hold God in our soul. So we believe that we have the indwelling of God. That's one of the reasons why when we make the sign of the cross, we actually touch our bodies because of God's indwelling. We're acknowledging that God is dwelling inside of our bodies when we say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and make that sign of the cross. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we can have that indwelling is because of the gift of sanctifying grace. Mm-hmm. And we first receive that in baptism. And in order for us to effectively receive the Eucharist, we need that sanctifying grace, and then we receive Jesus, and as a result of receiving the Eucharist, his presence grows within us, his impact becomes even more stronger, and we become more integrated, more united. In a sense, we have more of Jesus every time we receive the Eucharist. The challenge is, if somebody commits a mortal sin, that mortal sin, one of the results of a mortal sin is the loss of sanctifying grace. And then if unrepented of, because of that lack of sanctifying grace, the soul is very much in danger of ending up in hell at death. And also because of the lack of sanctifying grace, the person can't receive the Eucharist because it would be an ineffective act. We would receive our Lord physically, but instead of our Lord then growing his presence in our soul, if we're lacking sanctifying grace, we receive our Lord, and then once he physically dissolves, nothing has happened, which can really wound and weaken our faith in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the concerns is, this widespread lack of engagement with the sacrament of reconciliation is actually resulting in a lack of Eucharistic faith because people have been receiving the Eucharist ineffectively, right? In a sense, St. Paul talks about this in the Second Corinthians, that, when you receive our Lord unworthily, you receive your condemnation.
Mm.
In a sense, this act of receiving our Lord without sanctifying grace, and so an ineffective communion with our Lord, which is hard to even comprehend, then, that actually kills grace. It wounds our faith in the act of the Eucharist. And then in this time of Eucharistic revival, then we have to kind of properly reset and reorder the role of the sacrament of reconciliation to restore sanctifying grace if we're aware of mortal sin. Since we're talking about confession, it's worthwhile just a reminder what goes into a mortal sin. It has three components. All three need
just
to
going
be present.
To, I was just looking at my notes. I was just going to say, okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, I'm so sorry. And I'll stop there. I'm used to lecturing.
No, that's good. I was just going to go there. I was just going to go there.
So
you keep going, Father. That
great
was excellent.
Minds thinking like I'll make those pauses then. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Anyway, so the three requirements then would be it has to be grave matter, so directly breaking one of the Ten Commandments, so and in a significant way. So if somebody asks you like does this shirt make me look fat, and you're like oh no, and you're telling like a white lie, like that would be a venial sin. It's still not a good thing to do, but compared to if somebody says hey I'm dying of hunger here, do you have bread that you can share with me?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have bread and you're like oh no I don't, obviously that would be like very significant grave matter. So it's a direct breaking of the Ten Commandments in a grievous way. That's the first thing. Taking God's name in vain can fall into this. That's a very common one. And also missing Mass on Sunday can fall into this as just helping with a little mini examination of conscience there. So it's got to be grave matter, directly breaking one of the Ten Commandments. We have to do so with full knowledge. So we have to know that the sin is serious. We have to know that we're committing the sin. And so we need that full knowledge. We can't commit a mortal sin by accident. So that full knowledge needs to be there. And then we need to have the free will. So if, somebody who may be an alcoholic, if they're getting drunk, then it may be out of the compulsion of the addiction. So they actually, even though they're doing something objectively evil and wrong and experiencing the damage that causes to them, they may not be committing a mortal sin because their will has been compromised by the addiction. Where if presuming you and I aren't addicted to alcohol or not alcoholics, and if we go out and get drunk, then we're fully freely committing the sin. We have the free will to choose the sin, right? We only commit a mortal sin by making a choice to sin. We can never do it by accident. So they're the three requirements. And so if we hit those thresholds and we commit a mortal sin, we lose sanctifying grace. And then the result is we're no longer capable to effectively receive the Eucharist. And the Church has always asked us then refrain from receiving. Stay in the pew, don't go up and receive. There's still a lot of power that you're receiving at Mass. And then go to confession as soon as you can to have the sanctifying grace restored through the celebration of the sacrament of reconciliation, and then you're able to receive, So we have this reconciliation weekend. To get the details for the reconciliation weekend, if you go to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia website, if you go to www.phillyeucharisticrevival.org, that's phillyeucharisticrevival.org, and then the events page, reconciliation, it's got all the details for the reconciliation weekend and all the listed times and locations where this is taking place. And one challenge for our listeners, because probably most listeners a lot of you are those that are already making use of this sacrament. So don't turn this off and say, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I think there's a desperate need for everyone who's listening to invite those they have influence over to make use of this great sacrament on this reconciliation weekend. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of aids to help those who've been away for a while, and the best way to do that is to go up to somebody in person and give them that invitation, or over the phone or with an email, and it also is a stronger invitation if you say, hey, and I'll take you, or let's meet there if you try to accompany them. That would be the most powerful. And if they've been away for a while, their salvation is in jeopardy, and their the grace of God is not flowing through them properly, and you may be the catalyst for them to experience God's mercy. That might be the very catalyst for them being saved for all eternity, and it may be resting on your capacity right now to invite them. There's probably people in your life that you're the only person that can effectively invite them. And if you invite them and they say no, sweat off your brow, right? With that invitation, you're representing God. If we remember back to Ash Wednesday, the second reading, where St. Paul talks to us about being ambassadors for Christ, right? We make Christ present when we give these invitations. So bring Christ to those that you know need this sacrament. Give them an enthusiastic invitation. You might be the catalyst for their salvation.
Well, thank you, Father. And I have before me the list per county. There's sites in Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County, and Philadelphia. And I invite our Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners to go to that website that Father DeLacy just mentioned, and do what he has asked you to do. I mean, the faithful Father, probably know this, but I love your outreach, your ambassadorship. You're asking people to be an ambassador in the family, in your neighbors, and in your parish. People may be going to Mass, but not going to reconciliation. So I mean, but we may be that person, as you say, that is the only person that shows an interest and invites someone. So yeah, that's huge. I think it's very huge. I do invite our listeners to go to that, but Father, I'm going to do a station ID, basically. You're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and 1420 WCOJ in Coatesville in Chester County. And so, Father, I was looking at my notes from a week ago last night, but you said you were going into the three things, but I have a different set of three things, but you started off that seminar with, you're talking about disordered desire and sin, three underlying bases, like unhealed wounds, hidden pattern of sin.
Well, I mentioned it, that comes from the Pope John Paul II Healing Healing Institute. I had the chance to go to retreat there. They have the Holy Desire Retreat. They're based out of Tallahassee, Florida, very powerful. So they talk about that every sin and every disordered desire has three kind of components under it that you can see. Like there's a holy desire, so something that's really good that you want. So let's say if you're angry, right, it might be being fueled by the true good holy desire for justice. So we want to lean into the holy desire. But if it's a disorder, if it's a sin, there's usually then an unhealed wound. So, and those wounds are usually caught up in our memories then. And the way to kind of address that would be to kind of invite Christ into the memory. This is all part of effective repentance and penance from the sin, to be freed from the sin. So having our Lord heal the wound and being open to going below the surface to discern what the wound is. And then the third component is a hidden pattern of sin. So, for some people, if they experience shame somehow during the during their day, well, then their first opportunity may be jumping into pornography or drinking or overeating or whatever to kind of soothe the pain of the shame that may have happened in the morning. And that would be a pattern of sin that if you're able to break that pattern up and be aware of it, then you're going to be freed from the sin. So it's using all three to kind of discern what's the holy desire. You obviously still lean into that because that's going to lead you to a good place, you know, asking our Lord to heal and invite our Lord into the memory of the wound that's not been healed, and then asking our Lord to help you to break up this hidden pattern of sin. So it's a great way to kind of map out every wound we have. Yeah,
Beautiful, Father. But last night, there was a Zoom call, basically, that I joined. Megan Coakley, the leader of that group, but the title of that Zoom meeting last night was Why Confession? And it was a panel That's discussion right. on Zoom. It was awesome. It was about an hour and a half, but there were yourself, Father Eric Banneker, Adesalam Makonnen, Father Mariano Della Giovanna, and yourself. So going out again about reconciliation writ large, I mean, and specifics. So do you want to talk a little bit about last night real quick?
Yeah, last night was great and a lot of great questions, and it was really powerful, and you know, my brother priests that were on with me all did a great job. And probably by the time of the airing of this recording, there, you know, if you end up going to that Philly Eucharistic Revival.org, and then under reconciliation, I believe the video of that will live there, and then you can go and it was a whole series of questions that over the course of an hour and a half we were answering. So wouldn't be to get into all of it, but most of the questions surrounded then the four acts in the sacrament of reconciliation, right? One is done by the priest, three is done by the penitent, and so a lot of questions around that. So, and I remember, you know, the one very important component of the is the act of contrition, right? It's not only saying the prayer, but it's having that interior disposition where we're supposed to be sorry that we've done the sin. And we're supposed to be intentional not to do the sin again. Now, many of us end up falling in the same sin, and we keep reconfessing the same sin over and over again. That's you know, not necessarily lacking contrition. Sometimes out of weakness, we keep slipping up with the same sin. But we can't go into confession saying, I'm just going to choose to keep doing this. We have to desire and intend not to do it again. Even if we keep falling into the same sin, we have to intend not to. And if we're lacking contrition, if we're not actually sorry we've done something, and we're not actually intending not to do it again, then that actually blocks us from receiving the grace of the sacrament and the forgiveness of the sacrament, right? You know, we know that in our own relationships, if somebody's hurting us and they ask for our forgiveness and to be reconciled to us, but they say, but I'm going to keep hurting you. Well, there's no way we would reconcile with them, right? And that same pattern is with God. If we're intending to keep offending him, well, that we're not going to be reconciled. So that's a very important component. Obviously, the confession of sins, right? You know, and every mortal sin that we commit, we're supposed to confess. Now, it's not supposed to be a test of our memory. So if we legitimately have forgotten a mortal sin, it's forgiven. But let's say if we've committed a mortal sin, and then because we're at some type of you know, catechetical program, and then we recall a sin that was mortal that we committed that we never confessed, in that case it was forgiven, but we have to mention it in a future confession. That also may happen. It's happened to me before where you go into confession and you're like, I have these four sins to confess, and then you just remember three of them.
Yeah.
Well, the one that you forgot is forgiven, but then if it turns out that was a mortal sin, you have to mention it in a future confession. So every mortal sin has to be confessed. And then there's the satisfaction or the penance, right? Every sin does damage, right? When we sin, we're hurting ourselves. We're creating a propensity to sin again. Also, our sin can very much hurt the world, and we're responsible for that. So the penance is the start of the satisfaction for this, what we owe in justice, right? And so, and if we haven't fully made total satisfaction for all of our sins. That's one of the things that we'll be doing in purgatory, and a lot of that has to do with healing within us the way the sin has damaged us and hurt us. Mm-hmm. And so they're the three acts of the penitent, right? Confession, penance, and contrition. And then there's the one act of the priest, and it really is Jesus working through the priest, and that is absolution, right? Mm-hmm. When we hear the priest say, "I absolve you of all your sins," that I is more Jesus, and the priest is lending his voice, and Jesus is the one speaking through the priest. Mm-hmm. It's so very powerful. And it really is our Lord working through the priest in such a powerful way. So that way, when we hear our sins, when we confess our sins, we're confessing to Jesus. And then when we hear those words, especially "I absolve you of all your sins," we're hearing from Jesus. That's why that dynamic of how the Jesus is working through the priest, that knowledge is really exclusive to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why the seal of confession is so very important.
I was just going to go there, yes. Go ahead.
Great minds think alike here. So the seal of confession is so very important. We're on the same page here. So,
yes.
Because, you know, that's privilege information given to Jesus. The priest is not allowed to use that in any way. As a matter of fact, the church has imposed very severe penalties if the priest were to break the seal of confession, as it's called. Automatically, he would be excommunicated, and he would have to go to the Pope to come back into communion with the church. And there's been stories of priests being held in contempt of court because they would rather not break the seal, and mm-hmm. when they're asked to testify,
yes.
And you know, a lot of priests would rather die than break the seal, as we should, because of the sacredness of that moment. Mm-hmm. It's not our information to use. It's such a sacred thing.
Yes. Well, Father, we're getting maybe about another minute and a half, but I'm going back. You know, Jesus works through the priest, but also, and this from my notes from the seminar a week ago, Jesus works through the penitent. I mean, it works both ways. Those three steps, you know, predispose the penitent to, you know, to be receptive, to allow Jesus to work through us in conjunction with the priest.
Yep. So if we go back then, like, he who never committed a sin took on all sin, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus dying on the cross, he takes on all sin from all time. Interiorly, he suffers every single sin that was ever committed. He's aware of it. He sees it in front of him. He's showing the Father, this is the sinfulness of humanity. When he's suffering interiorly, when he holds himself up and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that's his response. So very powerful when you think of it that way. Mm-hmm. And then we know the Father's response to this confession of all of our sins. He raises Jesus from the dead. And so when we confess our sins, we're joining with Jesus' confession of our sins on the cross. That same grace, that same power that Jesus is demonstrating on the cross, he's working through us to confess our sins, because in the life of the Trinity, which we're destined to share in for all eternity, every person in the Trinity is totally vulnerable to the others. And so part of this is our vulnerability of going to God and saying, "This is fully who I am, both the sin and the person who I am," and that vulnerability it then becomes the powerful catalyst for our healing, and Jesus is working through us, in us, and with us as we confess. It's an act of Jesus, because he's already confessed these sins on the cross, and he's helping us to confess these sins in the sacrament so that we can be reconciled to the Father and united with him for all eternity. So such a powerful moment of grace.
Absolutely,
and
Father.
And you're not relying on your own strength, then. You're relying mm-hmm. on Jesus' strength to confess.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Father Stephen DeLacy. Would you like to give a last invitation for March 10th and 11th to our listeners?
Absolutely.
And then close us with a prayer, please. Thank you.
Absolutely. Happy to do so. Thank you. And David, thanks for the great work that you're doing. Thanks for having me on the show here.
You're
so
welcome,
for
Father.
All of our audience, then, it's PhillyEucharisticRevival.org. If you go to /reconciliation, you get all the details for this reconciliation weekend, which is March 10th and 11th. All kinds of priests will be at these different parishes. It's a great opportunity, if you've been away, to come back And it's also a great opportunity, if you know people whose salvation you're concerned for, invite them with great enthusiasm. Look up where the closest location is and be as intentional as possible to invite them. There's also a guide to go to confession and an examination of conscience, so you can give them all the tools that they need to be successful. And even if you were to accompany them, a lot of times people are anxious, that accompaniment is so very helpful. You can literally be a minister of God's mercy by getting people to the great sacrament of reconciliation. And so please be zealous in doing that. So, and let's close with a prayer.
Okay.
In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we continue through our Lenten journey, we ask for the grace that all of our listening audience and those we have influence over will make use of this sacrament of penance, so that experiencing your love and mercy, we will experience the fullness of freedom and be the sons and daughters that you've called us to be. And as we are preparing for the Paschal mystery of the Triduum, help us to be all the more united to your Son's cross so that we can share his resurrection in a fuller way. And we ask this all through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Father Stephen DeLacy, and thank you, our loyal Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. This is Dave Parker signing off. I'm hoping and praying that we and you have a blessed Lent. So talk to you next time. Thank you. God bless.